Blessed God, again, we are very thankful that you have allowed us to enter into this sacred moment. And we thank you, God, for keeping us yet alive, that we had the mind to rise from our sleeping places and dress ourselves and make our way into this greater Brookville place. We thank you, God, that you have again given us this day that we might draw nearer unto you. As James reminds us, you are drawing nearer unto us. We pray, God, that as we meet in this place, that certainly, Lord, you will help us with our understanding. God, increase our wisdom, increase our empowerment, that we too might go forth and share with others, that they would come to know what we've come to know. Lord, help us to stay focused on the hour, that we might set all things aside, hear your voice with clarity. And Lord, we will recognize the moment and take advantage of it. We pray, God, that your will be done in our lives, that we might be, Lord, the first order of the elect. That is certainly, Lord, you have chosen us as a royal priesthood, of first among the believers, that we would go forth as good soldier servants. We pray, God, that you would set other things away from us, that we might would not lose our focus and not become distracted. Moreover, God, we pray that you would bless this hour, that we would be the blessing. And we pray, God, certainly that we would recognize all that you are doing in this moment. Help us to live one day at a time. Help us, Lord, to let yesterday be yesterday. And God, let us always remember the promise that is upon our lives. Please, God, again, forgive us of our sin. Have mercy upon us, we do pray, in the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, 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 and amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, if you will, please, as we are going forward now. And that locked out very quickly. Amen. Matthew chapter 7. This is a very familiar setup for us. And we're going to talk about a couple of things as we get ready to dig a little deeper into Matthew 7. How many of you have ever been bored? Bored. Yeah. Just about everybody. What happens when you get bored, generally? You get in trouble. Okay, we'll save that one. Well, you know, when we get bored, you find something else to do. Anybody else? You eat, okay. Watch television. Get restless. Those are some of the things that happen. Now, remember, if you go back, you don't have to turn in your notes, but remember one of the things that we were talking about, we gave you about five of them that we want to be very careful of as we're building our foundation, and distractions was one of them. Usually when we get bored, we get distracted, and it causes us to go do something else. We might go out and get in trouble. We may, you know, decide, well, I'm going to watch television, or might sit down, you know what, I'm going to go make me a sandwich, or we just... we decide, you know, this ain't for me. Well, this is one of the things that you have to be very careful of as you're building your spiritual foundation, because boredom generally for the disciple trying to make forward progress starts to result in or leads us down the path of spiritual regression. We start going backwards. What used to excite us about church, learning, preaching, fellowship, and it's like, man, you know, it's the same old, same old. Now, one of the counters to that is that you have to keep yourself spiritually motivated. You have to always be looking for the next learning point so that you don't get bored. Some of us have a way of creating our own little happy places where we can, you know, kind of get ourselves through it and say, you know what? Okay, I'm I got to get something out of this, because spiritual regression starts to bring us to a place where we become dull in our hearing. We become dull in our doing. We get to the place where the Bible is not exciting for us. And what happens then is we become, as we used to call it in the old church, we start backsliding. And people still do that. It's not something we talk about a lot, but the evidence presents itself. And a lot of it, we just tend to not want to look at it. We tend to, well, you know, if we don't say too much, it'll go away. That's never been true, and it never will be true. Anything you ignore gets worse. You're going to have to deal with it. So what we need to look at now is, in our foundation, what we have to look at is, what are we going to ask God for in order that we not become dull or that we not start this spiritual regression? Because he gives us the formula to stay excited. He gives us the formula. He says, all right, whatever you ask me for, whatever you ask me for, I'm going to help you so that you don't become bored or lose your focus. When you lose your focus, you get in trouble. Presently, one of the biggest things. Well, let me see if you've been paying attention. What's one of the biggest public issues that relate to focus in our nation right now? You know. Unemployment. That's a good one. Huh? OK, that's a good one. Maybe y'all watch too much TV. One of the biggest things that they talk about relating to focus in our nation right now is texting and driving. It's a big, I mean, insurance companies are getting involved now. The phone companies are in the process of making a phone that if you're in motion, it won't function. They've asked Samsung, Apple, and all those companies to make, and they can do it because your phone knows when you're moving. It does. It's smart. I have a feature on my phone called Trapster, which is it's a speed alert system. It kind of lets you know where police might be hiding and stuff like that. And if you drive like me, that is necessary information. But it knows. And what you can do is when we were on our trip the other day and the speedometer in the truck started acting crazy. And so it quit working, really. So I just turned the Trapster feature on and that became my speedometer. And it was dead on. I mean, it was on. So they're making a phone. They're trying to get the creators, engineers, tech people to make it a feature where if you're moving more than 2 miles an hour, which you know, most of us walk about 3 or 4 miles an hour. And you've probably seen people walking in text. How many have been bumped into by somebody walking? And then they look at you and go, they don't even say, excuse me. They just look at you. So anyway, it's a focus issue. So what we have to be very careful of is how we manage, maintain and manifest based on our focus. How we manage. Right now, you're managing your focus because you're looking at me. You're deciding. Some of you in your management decided to look down and start writing. Some of you in your management are just looking straight ahead. And then to maintain it, some of us, when we maintain a while, we start out with our head like this. And it gets like that. That's part of you maintaining focus. Some of us have little things we do to stay focused. We chew gum. Some of us, we tap our pen. Some of us do things. So then the other thing is what manifests from what you focused on becomes now a part of your life. Because what you put in affects your whole output. So what we have to look at now is how do we get this focus point and how do we make sure two things you have to have. And you can write these down. One. You have to have a detailed desire. Detailed desire. That's important. And I'll tell you why. The second thing you need to have is a sure objective. A detailed desire and a sure objective. Here's why you need to have a detailed desire. You can't get up in the morning and say to yourself, well, I'm just going to let the day unfold. You can't go to work and just sit at your desk and say, well, whatever they put on my desk, that's what I'm going to do. You have to have details. When you get up in the morning, you have to say, this is what I'm going to get from Bible Academy. This is what I'm going to accomplish at work today. This is what I trust me in this. You can stand over your children and pray detailed desires. You can do it with your wife and your husband. When you get up in the morning and you look at your spouse, say, this is what I need from you today. Don't leave it to chance. Don't just have a desire. Don't think that he just going to come home and bring you flowers. Don't think he just going to come home and cook dinner from you or for you. We got all adults. Don't think. Listen, our sexual health is involved in details. Our mental health is in details. our physical health. You can look at him and say, don't hit me no more. I don't want you to assault me. I don't want to be abused. Detail. Tell him what you want. Tell her what. Some women can beat their husbands. Ask Harpo. Yeah. You have detailed desires will affect your life in ways you have been overlooking. Stop leaving things to chance. Say to people, say to yourself, this is what I need from this. You'll be amazed what happens in your life. I talk to people different like that sometimes. Sometimes it shakes them. Sometimes I don't leave. I just say, here's what I need you to do. And a lot of people don't like that, but it satisfies me because it's detailed. I need you to do this, this. And it's not making people, you're not making people out to be idiots. You're keeping them well informed. So the levels of expectations are not reversed with disappointment and how many times have you left things a chance, thought people understood you, they didn't understand you, then when they came back to you and said no, and then they said, well, that's not what I thought you wanted. We wasted a whole day, haven't we? We wasted a lot of our life like that. So detailed desire. When you get up in the morning, set your detailed desires. I gave you a hint to it last week. Get up in the morning, ask God, Lord, what is my assignment today? Within the parameters of, and you need to hear from God. When you hear that from God, now you need to start putting details in place. You cannot build a spiritual foundation taking chances. You're going to get bored. How many of you have ever gotten bored with yourself? Because you didn't give detail. You didn't give yourself a chance. You got to have detailed desire. And then you got to have a sure objective. You got to say to yourself, by the time this is over, this is where I want to be. This is what I want to accomplish. Again, we talk about trips a lot because most of us travel. You get in your car and aimlessly wander around, you'll end up somewhere. Somewhere. It happens. How many of us have ever gotten in the car and just felt like driving and said, you know, I'm just going to go out and ride around a while. And then in the course of doing that, you say, you know what? I'm going up to the apple orchard. You know what? I'm going to Parkway. Because after a while, you get tired of just riding around. Your mind says, hey, we got to go somewhere. Or somebody in the car. How about your kids? Are we there yet? They don't know where there is, but they want to know where. Let's make something there. We ride around sometimes and see a thing and say, that's where I'm going to go. I was riding the other day and I passed an ice cream shop, you know, an old fashioned ice cream shop. I said, man, I'm going to the ice cream shop. So I made a U-turn and got to the ice cream. Man, and it was like, okay. And then the line was too long. And you know what? How many of you have ever done this? And this is a little bit of a sidebar. How many of you have ever gone somewhere and the line is too long and you say to yourself, what are all these people doing here? Idiot. The same thing you're doing there. They're getting ice cream. So I didn't want to wait. I said, yeah, now I'm mad because I didn't get the ice cream. My drive turned into something that was nothing. But anyway, my point is you have to have a sure object. Now here's what the Bible says. So we're in Matthew 7. Let's go to Matthew 7. And now we'll have to be honest with ourselves here for a minute or two. Well, you got to be honest all the time. But watch what happens to you when you start working through this. This is going to be amazing because I did it and I was amazed at my own self. So, and I'm not easily amazed. Matthew 7 says, I have a New Living Translation. Might read a little bit different than what you have in your King James or whatever. But watch this now. Verse 7 of Matthew 7 says, keep on asking. And then there's a comma. That means slow down. Think about that for a second. And you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking. And you will find. Keep on knocking. And the door will be open. Now, those of you who have a paper, have a pencil, pen, and a piece of paper, I want you to write down three things that came to your mind when I said, keep on asking. What three things would you ask for? Just write three things. When you heard me say it, and I know you did it, because as soon as I said, keep on asking, you start thinking, man, what could I ask for? If you didn't, now you are. But write down just three things. What three things would you ask for? It says, keep on asking. So what three things would you ask for? Now, you know what the next thing to do is, what three things would you look for? So you're going to have, one little column with three things. And here's your next column. What three things would you look for? Don't worry about it. It's your paper. And the last thing, you see it coming. What would you be knocking on that has not opened yet? No cheating. Don't look on nobody else's paper. So you're going to end up with probably 7 to 8 things. You may not have 9. You don't have to have necessarily 3 in the other one. But I gave you 3 for the other 2. 3 things you would ask for. 3 things you would look for. And what would you knock on that has not opened that you want to open? Everybody doing okay with it? Everybody done with it? Anybody still working on it? Okay, take time. Because I need you to do that for yourself. What three things, and I limit it because if I asked you to write down all the things you asked for, we would be here a while. Three things. What three things would you ask for? Sister Anderson, we don't let you play too. We don't want to leave you out. Because this is important. You're a smart lady. We're at Matthew 7, and the text says, keep on asking, keep on looking, and keep knocking. So I said, write down 3 things that you would ask for, 3 things you would look for, and what would you knock on that you want to open that has not opened yet? Now, here's what you need to understand. This is your list. This is your word. It is His will to meet you and your list according to His word. Don't cheat yourself. Don't cheat yourself. Can I tell you that why the reason many Christians are spiritually dissatisfied? I'm going to let you write because I want y'all to hear this and it's going to change your life. I'm going to tell you why. It's going to change your life. You will walk out of here today. If I don't give you nothing else, I have given you something that's going to change the rest of your life. When I tell you this, you're going to say to yourself, he's right. All the years I've known my pastor, he gave me that. On the 23rd day of September, he has caused me to reshape my life. Everybody ready? Can I tell you why most Christians are dissatisfied? You want to know why? You lack detail. It's that simple. This verse requires detail. You cannot ask God without detail. We have said for years, and Minister White is here. We got some deacons here. We got some trustees and some good, well-meaning saints. How many of you have ever heard this statement? Any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. And how many of you are not satisfied? We need a fool in ourselves. Thank you. We set ourselves up for dissatisfaction by saying, God said, tell me what you want. How many of you have ever stood before somebody and said, what do you want? And they go, I don't know. Doesn't it frustrate you? You're standing there in the midst of a blessing. You came to be the blessing. And you say, Carrie, what can I do for you? Well, I don't want to bother you. Whatever, it'd be all right. And when you did whatever, she walked away going, that's it. Come on, how many of you ever done that? Somebody said to you, what do you want me to do? What do you need? And you said, well, I don't know. I mean, whatever you do, that'll be all right. I mean, I appreciate any little thing you do. And they did a little thing, and you walked away saying, are you serious? My uncle used to walk up to us with money. He had lots of money. And he would stand in front of us with a knot. That's what we call it down south. And say, how much y'all want? And we'll say, just give me $1. Give me $5. And he said, okay. And he gave us $1. And we walked away saying he cheap. All that money he got, and he just gave us $1. So one day, I got smart. He walked up, same old thing Uncle Sonny used to do. Walked up, hand in his pocket, looked at him and said, boy, you got any money? I said, no, sir. How much you want? And I saw a $100 bill. I said, that $100 bill. And he gave it to me. He gave it to me. I went and told everybody he gave it to me. You know what they told me? Guess what they told me? Somebody tell me what they told me. No. I lied. There's no way he would have gave you that. You know what they said? They said, I stole it. They said, Sonny put his money down and I went in and stole it. They made me go get him to verify that he would bless me. Y'all don't see it coming, do you? God says, I will give you anything. And how many times has God given you anything and folk looked at you and said, ain't no way that happened. That's the devil telling you to stay out of details. God is saying you get in the details and you will never have a dissatisfied moment for the rest of your life. God specializes in detail. How do you know that, Pastor? Go back to Genesis. And God said, and it was. Everything that happened was detailed. God didn't just throw the sun out there and say, well, wherever you land, that's where you're going to be. It was detailed. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. Here's what I'm blessing you with. If you ever want to live the rest of your life, if you have any desire at all to live the rest of your life with a good spiritual foundation and not be dissatisfied, have details. Talk to God in details. People say, well, I don't have no, I can't pray long. If you put details in, you can talk to God a long time. And watch when God talks back to you. He talks in details. Now, you got your list? Somebody who wants to share. You don't have to. I'm not, I mean, you don't have to, but just anybody, one or two of you. What's one of the things you would ask for? Lord, what would you write? That's one, two, three. You just ruined my whole class. Deacon Walker, he killed. What'd you write down? Okay, thank you. Okay. Not bad things now. Not bad things. Anybody else? Somebody? Okay, Deacon. You can give me one. That's the first three that you would ask for. I mean, one, just one of them if you want. It doesn't matter. Okay. Sister Anderson, since I've made you play. Okay, that's fine. Wow. You ruined my class. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. And you blessed my class. The church loves you for that. So here, anybody else? This is good. Let's see what else. Deacon. Okay. 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 Anybody else? Y'all pretty slick. I'm helping. Apparently y'all are learning from me. Because here's what I want to say. And all of those are really wonderful. Now, here's what I wanted you to understand. Lord is dead on, because you need to first be able to understand when God answers you. And God's language is way out there. Isaiah helps us right. You know, my ways are not your ways. That's not to say God doesn't want it to be that way. I'm not saying he doesn't want you to understand. But the faith thing is critical. So basically, y'all got some of the things I was going to say. Here's what you ought to be asking for. And y'all got this. Now here's what you have to understand. Those are details. Those are your details. You don't have to have what he had. You don't have to have what he had. But those are your details. There's nothing wrong with asking for something for your child. That's a good father. And what I was going to show you is, no matter what you wrote, it is still your details, and God hears and answers your prayer. But for the sake of me teaching you in Christian Academy, that's what I wanted you to ask for. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, spiritual insight. Because that's going to shape the other details. When you have those things, how you pray for your son, how you get out of debt, how you handle money, all of that changes based on your details and your priorities. Your sure objective is where you want to go. I don't care who else want to go anywhere else. That's where you want to go. That's what you want. And if anybody comes along beside you, so be it. And I'm going to show you some text that sheds light on that. Because this thing about walking together or touching and agreeing means that this is my list. But when you come into my life, I have the right, the privilege, the authority of God to keep my list. But if you're going to stay with me, you're going to have to help me keep my list, or we can't walk together. Because you come into my life telling me it's silly to want millions of dollars. I don't want to hear that. You can walk with me if you say, you know what, I think I know a way we can make some of that money. Details. Ask and it shall. Keep asking. You can't ask for details one time and walk away from it. Remember, you can't get distracted. You can't ask God to heal you, and because you don't wake up in the morning without the ailment and walk away from it. He says, keep asking. We were taught, some of us in the old church, we were taught not to bother God, not to bombard God, not to keep asking God the same thing over and over again. That's a faith issue. That's not a faith issue. To repetitively or to keep repeating or to ask over and over is not saying that you didn't have faith that it was answered the first time. There are times when God answered the first time. There are times when God didn't answer the first time. It does not mean that you don't trust God because you go back and say, Lord, I'm still waiting. Because Isaiah helps us with that too. They that wait shall. So your details, you have to have, and this is critical for us, a detailed desire. He said, listen, keep on asking and you'll get it. Those of us who are parents know that crying babies get attention. How many of you have ever been told by somebody, oh, your child's so quiet? And it's a good thing, but you know why they're quiet? They don't want nothing. They don't want nothing. When they cry or when they fuss, even they get older like some of us are, and we keep whining about stuff and keep bringing it, it's because we want something. And the thing that we want the most is the thing that we talk about the most. Pay attention to people around you, because the desires of their heart become their dialogue. Don't miss that. When people drop little subtle hints at you, there ain't no subtle hint. You know what they're saying to you? You didn't hear me the first time, did you? What they're saying to you is, you realize I'm serious. See, when they say, what do you want? And you say, I'll give you what you want. And they say, I want a new car. And you laugh and go, now you know good and well, I ain't going to buy you no new car. But they keep talking about cars. They trying to tell you something. They're serious. Whatever you ask of God, he heard you. But God requires details. So if you say, Lord, bless me with a car, and you get a 68 Ford Galaxy, don't get mad at God. It should have been detailed. Lord, I'm asking you for a 2012, whatever. Whatever. I mean, that's your desire. Some of you might want a 2006 because there's something about a 2006. Some of you may want a specified job. Some of you know what you want to do with the money. Details. God ain't got no problem with details. You're not going to bore heaven with details. You got to have detailed desire. Now watch this now. Stay with me. Let's go over to Matthew 18. Am I helping you? Yeah, you ought to be feeling real good about running out of here today. Not until I say go, but you know. Everybody at Matthew 18? Almost there? Now you there? All right, watch this. Verse 19 says, I'll also tell you this. If two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything. Wow. Concerning anything from your detailed desire. The text says you ask. That's your detailed desire. God is saying, if the two of y'all can just get yourself together concerning the thing that you're going to ask me about, notice God's response. He said, my Father in heaven will do it for you. So for increased faith, healing of my son, my debt, my wisdom, my knowledge, whatever you got on your list, you need to find your partner who understands detail. Let me tell you something. We've been talking about it in noonday in our election and selection life. There's some people you just need to stay away from. That be ye separate and come out from among. There's some people, if people don't appreciate your details and trying to tell you crazy and that's ridiculous, stay away from them. You're messing up my Matthew 18:19. Tell them. Say, you know, you're messing up my prayer life. Because I need someone who understands the details. Husbands and wives need to work this one out continually. Can I say something to you husbands and wives? I've been married a while. Deacon Johnson been married a while. And some of y'all are catching up and may never catch up with us. But let me tell you something. If you and your wife don't pray together, you're missing a tremendous empowerment in your house. If you can't take 10 minutes to sit down with your wife and hold her hand through the hell and the happiness, even when you're trying to keep the fire hot, you got to hold, y'all got to pray. You need to know what's on her mind. She need to know what's on your mind so she can pray for her husband. And you can pray for your wife. So you can pray for the mother of your children. You can pray for the father of your children. So you can pray for your breadwinner. And you can pray for your bread spender. Okay, sisters, I'm playing. You understand what I'm saying? The text said, this is the detail. This is why we're so dissatisfied. Because we're not talking to God in detail. We're not looking at the scripture and saying, okay, if that's what God wants me to do, I'll find me a partner. We did it in the church about 20 years ago. We started this prayer partner thing. It's not that we didn't do it before, but we, you know, everybody had a prayer partner. Everybody, you know, when people came into the ministry, we did it here at Brookville for a while. When people came in, we tried to hook them up with people. What the Lord said to me is, you're trying to yoke people that may not be yokeable. I know that's not a real word. Preachers can make up words. You're thinking, well, I'm going to put Carrie with Jennifer because Carrie's a nice person. Maybe there's something about that relationship that's not anointed for a relationship. Let people find their own partners. That'd be like us running a marriage service. We just take you and say, okay, we're going to put you with him. They don't love each other. They have nothing in, well, that song, we have nothing in common. You can't do that. Notice the text. The text requires details. Here's the thing you need to understand. If you cannot share with people what you pray for, you probably don't need that person in your life. If you can't tell them the intimate details of your prayer life, that's probably not a person you want to marry just because he's handsome and hunky or she fine and all that kind of stuff. Because you do know that stuff changes. And sometimes fast. The text requires details. Your foundation is going to strengthen it or be strengthened and have survivability, stability, and security because it has details. How many of you at night before you go to bed check the doors and windows and stuff like that? That's detail. How many of you lock the doors on your car and look back to make sure the door did lock? How many of you have hit the button and heard it boop, boop, and then still, you know, check? Details. Why would you have such details in those things and not let detail be in your prayer life? How many of you look in the mirror when you get dressed? Details. Brush your teeth in the mirror. Most people brush their teeth in a mirror. It's not like the teeth ain't going to be there. It's not like the toothbrush going to get lost. We just need to see that we're doing a good job. How many of you lean into the mirror? We all do it because we're trying to get the detail. How about this? Detail. Why would you have such details in those things, but not in your prayer life? Why would you talk to God, yada, 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 instead of saying, Lord, here's what I need from you. Because you're meeting him in the detail. He says, I will supply all your need. God ain't going to get mad at you because you say, Lord, this is what I need from you. He's going to say, well, now, you got it figured out. You're talking to me in detail. Those are your detailed desires. Now, watch what he says. I like this. Go back up a verse and watch verse 18. He said, I'll tell you this. Whatever you prohibit on earth is prohibited in heaven. And whatever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. Now, we've got the King James says whatever you bind and whatever you loose. But that's a powerful, because it's details. If you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I prohibit or I bind up sickness, I bind up ignorance, and you have a partner, and we say those things to you, can you see the empowerment there? Because it's detail. You say, Lord, I bind up financial deficit in our church. While you're back there praying, the trustees get together and prohibit this and say it to God. In our marriages, on our jobs, in this learning environment, if you say to yourself, Lord, I prohibit myself from becoming bored and dull, because I know that wisdom, knowledge, power, understanding, greater faith, those things are going to bring my life into discipleship empowerment. I prohibit my children. I prohibit my husband. Those things are detailed. It makes your foundation strong. And does God have the answer in a microwave moment? No, sir. Because I'll tell you this. My pastor taught me this one. If it took you 10 or 15 years to mess it up, it's probably going to take 20 years to get it straight. That's 30 years of your life that you're going to be working on something. How many of us have ever had financial issues and it only took about a 30 second to fill out that application or sign the dotted line, but it took 6 years to pay it off. It takes a while. You can do a thing in a month that might wind up taking your lifetime. You know, a couple of years ago, they made credit card companies put on the bill each month. If you keep paying the minimum payment, how long it'll take? How many of you, when you got that, went, oh, my God. Because you can take a $3,000 debt and take 30 years to pay it off. And then it tells you at the end of this, this is how much you would have paid. You say to yourself, are they crazy? No, you're crazy. And we were crazy, weren't we? Because we didn't do what we should have done. So what God is saying to us is, all right, get your detail. Now watch this now. This is, I hope I'm helping you. He said, because if you can agree concerning anything. See, here's what we've done to God. We have put God on a limit. The devil has convinced us that there are some things in our life that God is not interested in. And that is not true. There is not one hair on your head that God is not interested in. Don't you ever again put God on limits. I don't care what it is. You have to have details. If you smoke too much, drink too much, cuss too much, steal, lie, those things you need to talk to God about, because those are the inner things. If you have to have a desire, you have to have the details. You didn't get into it happenstance. You thought about it. You did some things. You drove over there. You made arrangements. You did whatever it is. There were some details. So whatever you desire concerning the inner things. Now, again, you have to have someone who's willing to walk with you in the details. Can I tell you something? Most people that you know don't really want to know you. Most people you know don't really want to know you. They want to know the image they have of you. That's why when we get in trouble or something comes up, people turn on us. How many of you have ever had somebody to turn on you because they found out something about you and they didn't like it, so they stopped liking you? Most people don't really want to know you. If most people knew everything to know about you, they would not love you. Here's the real shouting point. You have a God who knows everything about you and loves you unconditionally. Because in this verse, there is no disclaimer that says, except those of you who have lied, steals, sinned. He doesn't put that there. You know why? Because he says, I love you. And even if you do steal, smoke, have sexual proclivities, whatever you do, even the Jerry Sanduskis of this world, the Charles Mansons of this world, the James Earl Rays of this world belong to God. They can ask for his forgiveness. And it is up to God, not us. Ain't no way God, he committed murder. You know how many people have committed murder in this world? You have details. Then you have satisfaction. Go to God concerning anything. I have learned in my life to talk to God. Like grandma said, just a little talk with Jesus will make everything. There is nothing in my life, thank you, Lord, that I can't be honest with God about. And because of that honesty and detail, I feel better. So much better. Since I laid my burdens down. I just said, you know what, Lord, this is me. I think I got to tell him that. You know, it ain't like God going, wait a minute, Leroy's revealing. But I'm talking to God about details. And I have a partner who I can share concerning so I can meet with verse 19. I also have a partner who I can handle verse 18. Because there's some stuff we need to bind up. Yeah. And we need a partner. Listen, two of us together are stronger. Because I'm holding you and you holding me. How many of you can tell when somebody loosening their grip? What do you usually do when people start loosening their grip? You tighten yours. That's why we need each other. And the other person, when they feel that, no, I need to do something too. See, that's why we need each other. But that's why the details make the difference. So write that down. That's the closing argument for that segment. We'll move to the next thing. The details make the difference. Sister Anderson loves her pastor. Every now and then she'll make me a carrot cake. I like carrot cakes. One time, she don't mind me telling this, and if she do, we'll just have to fight after church over with. One time, she put in baking soda instead of baking powder, and the cake did not turn out right. She said, I'm not giving you that cake. She said, Pastor, I made the cake. Call me with the good news, bad news thing. Pastor, I got good news and I got bad news. I said, well, the good news is my cake ready. I'm on the way. She said, well, yeah, I did make the cake, but I'm not giving it to you. That's the bad. I said, excuse me. She said, Pastor. And she gave me this. And we chuckled about it. She said, that cake is so heavy. She said, there is no way I'm giving my pastor that cake. She said, well, didn't you say you're going to let the kids eat it? Yeah. Yeah, she said, we'll eat it, but I'm not going to let you. I said, well, if y'all can eat it, I can eat it. She said, no, not my pastor, which is lovely. How wonderful. But it was a simple thing, but it's the details. Those of you who bake know that the detail. If it says tablespoon, you can't do a teaspoon. It ain't going to be the same. Things that minute make the difference in the manifestation. Remember, management, manifestation. You got to get those things covered. You cannot skip the details. The details make the difference. Now, sure objective. Where do I want to go as a result of having millions of dollars? What's going to happen to my life when I get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? Where am I going to go with it? What am I going to do with it? Am I going to minister with that? When I understand I have the power to pray and heal, When my faith is so great now, what am I going to do with that? Where do we go from here? What's our objective? Why are we learning all this stuff? See, this is why we get bored. If you keep coming to this, and some of y'all are very faithful, but you need a sure objective. You can't just come here for the rest of your life and say, long as pastor teaching, I'm going to be there. What's your objective though? What are you going to do with all that? What are you going to do with this paper? Some of y'all got notebooks. You know, some of you have been writing a long time. That's a lot of paper used up. This is a good sized book. I'm not going to read this stuff. I was just trying to see how many pages it said it had. How many pages in that thing, you know? 100. How many of these you got so far? 6. That's a book. So maybe her objective might be, one day I'm going to write a book about spiritual discipleship. Maybe someday I'll write down something that I can teach somebody. You do know that we are all charged, commissioned to go make more disciples. What's your objective? Why are you learning all this stuff? You do know, excuse me, as much as I love y'all, this really don't do much for me. I mean, it does something, but it's not about just, I got mine. When I bought my little fancy tablet, I got a keyboard on it so I can go on the fly. And I'm always writing. And I've been charged and responsibly slapped around because I haven't wrote my book yet. And I got all this stuff, but the fact of the matter is, you need a sure objective. I know what my sure objective is. My sure objective is that I finish building and developing disciples in my lifetime that God be glorified. I got a number in my head for God. God's got a number in his head. I wrote this. Nobody really sit down with those things were important to me. Those are my objectives. When my pastorate is over here and I'm gone, I pray that someone will say, when Mitchell was here, we did. My sure objective is that God be glorified. My sure objective is that I meet with the standard of my assignment. Say I got my little objective list. And we don't check them off every day. Some days we go, man, we were close. One of my objectives last week was that we get 30 new disciples. Well, we got two. And we're going to see what happens with those two. But we have to have, you can't just sit here and not have a sure objective. Maybe it's your marriage will be better. Maybe your children will be better. Maybe whatever it is. But it's got to be sure. And don't make it something just say, I need to have one. I'm just going to put something on the paper. No, that's not sure. And you can't even talk to God about stuff like that because that's crazy. You don't even have the wherewithal to keep going to God with arbitrary objectives. You're not going to do it because, you can say to yourself, it don't make no sense to me. It probably ain't going to make no sense to God. You got to have a sure objective. You need to be doing something with what's happening to you. Now, the thing about that knocking, there's some things out there that we've been waiting for to open. Back in Matthew 7, he said, just keep knocking on it until it's open. Don't stand there and go, you can't knock three times and just stand there. How many of you have ever gone to somebody's house? You know they're in there. And you ring the doorbell or knock on the door and you just keep doing it. And then they come to, I heard you. Why you keep ringing the doorbell? Because you didn't answer. The objective is for you to open this door. How many ever told somebody, don't make me kick this door down? No, you can't kick no door down if you try. Don't make me knock this door down. You're right. The reality is, here's what we're doing now. Because in the Christian church, we have a God who is saying to us, what's your objective? You ask. So when I give it to you, what are you going to do with it? You know why God don't give us a lot of stuff we ask for? Because we don't have a sure objective. He said, if I give it to you, what are you going to do with it? Because you got enough stuff in your closet already. You can't put your car in your garage already. You got more of those than you're using already. Don't ask me for another thing to put in the closet. Don't ask me for another thing to put in the tool shed. God is saying, what's your sure objective? Why do you want the power to heal and you don't even socialize with people? You don't go to the hospital now. You ain't trying to talk to nobody now. You're asking me to give you a gift that doesn't even fit your lifestyle. Why would I give you millions when I gave you dollars and you didn't do nothing with those? How many of you have a savings account? Okay, very good. The reason for having it is varied. Some of us do it for retirement purposes. Some of us have 401ks. Some of us have our own stuff and all that kind of thing. And that's an objective to that because most of us who have those have put a number on it. How many of you see that commercial with AIG? I think it's AIG, where the guy walking around with these big numbers and the guy that trimming his head and he got gazillion. And the guy says, so that's your number, a gazillion. He said, how do you plan for that? You just throw money at it. But the other guy's got a number. And he has a plan to get to the number because he said, this is what it's going to take for me. How many of you have an idea of if you live long enough to retire, how much it's going to take for you to maintain the lifestyle you have now if you retire? Anybody, most of you, you do know you need to understand that it's a big number. Because, see, right now you're getting a check every week, every 2 weeks, once a month. When you retire, you get one check, maybe. And it's going to be considerably smaller than what you're getting right now. And you're in a group insurance policy now. When you retire, you're on your own. Your insurance is going to go up about 300%. And ain't no overtime in retirement. No raises, right? That cost of living that the government been giving us is a joke. So you need to understand, you need a sure objective. Do you know why most of us die working? Because we can't afford to retire. How many of us know people that have retired and went back to work within a year to a full-time job, if not a heavy part-time job, with all the hours they can get? They might go to a part-time job, but they're saying, y'all give me all the hours y'all can and I'll work them. Because we did not have a sure objective. I'm not picking on you. I'm just being honest with you. It's the details. You got to go to God and say, Lord, when I turn 63 years old, I want to retire. I want to live in the house I live in, or buy and build another one. Those are details. And God, who hears and answers details, he said, you didn't have it because you didn't ask for it. See, then when you get to the have not place, you get mad at God. Because you lived your life, got to a place called have not, looked up to heaven and said, Lord, he said, you have not because you didn't do the details. You didn't ask. You didn't say when you got to 79 or 63 or 55 that that's what you wanted. Granted, when you were in your 20s, you didn't have nobody teaching you Bible Academy like the pastor teaching you now. Y'all got an advantage. You live this, you will be a legacy. Do you know that's what our parents wanted for us? Our mom and daddy wanted for us better than what they had. We skipped the lessons by being foolish. Because when they died and we did get that Life of Georgia insurance policy, we bought a car instead of putting it in a retirement fund. We went on a trip rather than paying off some debt. And got back and still owed Mr. Charlie more money. Mom and them said, I want it better for you. But we didn't do better because we neglected the details. God help us to set sure objectives. We cannot build this foundation without an objective. We're not doing this just so we can get up early in the morning and come to church at 9:30. No, we're not. We're doing this so that we can go deeper and be stronger and more consistent so that God be glorified. Let your light so shine that when men see, when people look at you and you're comfortable in your life, they say, there's got to be something about you. What did you know that I didn't know? How did you pray that prayer? And I worked right next to you in the cubicle for 25 years. You walked out of here with all your hair and healthy. I've got ailments and issues. I've been married 4 times. I can't keep a new car. You and I did the same job. What was the difference? I had details. I talked to God and you didn't. What was the difference between Lot and Abram? Lot knew detail. Abram just took a bite and ran. And whenever Lot got in trouble, it was the detail guy. What was the difference between David and Saul? David understood the detail. Saul overlooked the detail. Samuel said, Saul, don't do it. Saul said, the man of God is taking his time getting here. I'm going to go ahead and take care of the sacrifice. I'm going to go ahead and take care of the offering. And when Samuel came, he said, what have you done? He said, well, you were taking your time getting here. So I went ahead. He said, that's not your role. You have done a horrible thing. And then he got mad. Details. What's your objective? Listen. You are not too old. I'm not picking on you guys, but y'all close. You're not too young. It's not too early. How many times you heard parents say, well, I'm just going to let them grow up and make their own decision. And how many bucket heads do we see now in their 30s and 40s because parents let them make their own decisions. Parents, hear me well. Stick with the details. We got young ladies who don't even know how to iron. Don't even know how to cut up a chicken. I'm not kidding. They're a fryer. They don't even know. If you ask a young person today to go to the store and buy a fryer, they'll come back with a deep fryer. I'm serious. Because they don't know what a fryer is. And I don't want to put nobody on the spot right now, but they don't even know how to cut up a chicken. They don't know the difference between center cut pork chop and end cut pork chops. They don't even know what a pork loin is versus a Boston butt. You say a Boston butt, they think it's a young lady from Boston out there on the street somewhere. They understand. I'm serious, y'all. Our young men don't know how to be husbands. Because there are no husbands in the community. They know how to be a player, a dog. What up, dog? That's what they know. I told y'all a long time ago, watch what you let people call you. Because mentally we start to ascribe to that language. What up, slick? Start being slick. That's my dog right there. Ooh, ooh, we barking. Remember that song, Who Let the Dogs Out? How many of us remember little kids at family picnics, that's what they knew and couldn't sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. But you put Who Let the Dogs Out, all the little kids out there, woo, 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 woo. And they kept doing it and they still doing it. We got kids who can electric slide and cannot name two apostles in the Bible. They know Jay-Z. They know Weezy. They know this one, that one, that one. They can name every rap artist from here to the other side of the Mississippi Delta. But ask them who was Peter, James, and John. What group that is? Y'all hear me well. Our foundation is in trouble because we're not setting sure objectives. I want my son to be. And tell him. I want my daughter to be. And tell him. But not only tell them, tell God. For this child I prayed. Present them a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's how you keep your fire from going out. You understand what I'm saying? So he reminds us. He said, okay, here's what we must do. I got a little time. He said, because my Father will do it. Now God is saying, once you give it to me, I got this. He said, you have to finagle, cheat anybody, lie to anybody, steal from anybody. He said, when you have given me the thing concerning the two of you, my Father in heaven will do it. The thing concerning husbands and wives, friends, moms and daughters. He said, my Father, God's got it. We can't walk around singing songs like that and not believe in a God like that. Turn it over to the Lord and he worked it out. Oh, yeah. Turn it over. And you ain't turned nothing over to the Lord. And he ain't got nothing to work out because you ain't saying nothing to God with detail. You singing and spinning and get out of church talking about, ouch, God is saying, excuse me, wasn't that you just singing back there a few minutes ago? Talk to me. What is it that you need me to do? Because if you don't tell me, you have no argument that I didn't do it. You can't get mad at God because your marriage falls apart or you don't get a job or this. You got all this stuff that's broken and then you crying and God said, you didn't tell me about none of that. Oh, I knew it. And I'm not the kind of God that will walk away from you because my Father knows you have need of these things. But he says, it would be nice if you talked to me. Jesus made his request known and he was the Son of God, the very essence of God. But he still said, Lord, this is what we need. He took that food, blessed it, lifted it up to God. It ain't that he didn't know. God knew all the people was hungry. Jesus said, Father, he didn't give us the details of the prayer, but I'm sure it went something like, Lord, this is all we have, Daddy. And we got all these people out here. Here's an opportunity to show your empowerment. that these lives will never be the same. These 5,000, whatever his prayer, he didn't pray all day either, because the people was hungry. But I bet you he was detailed. I bet you he said in somewhere in that prayer, he said, and at the end of this, Lord, we want to collect more than we gave out to show who you are. And they did. You understand what I'm saying? Sure, objective. That's going to help your foundation, because your father wants you to have everything. How many of you know that people envy you when God prospers you? He don't need that many cars. He don't need no house that big. He don't need that much money. What in the world? Don't worry about it. Don't listen to that foolishness. Be a good steward and watch what God will do to you. Watch what God will do for you. Watch what God will do through you. Watch what God will do concerning you. The Bible says, and men will pour into you. So you're going to let people keep you from getting poured into? How many of us have ever had a moment in our life where we needed to be poured into? Thank you. I pray every day that God will send somebody into my life to pour in oil and wine. Spiritually, oil and wine. Now, not y'all. I saw y'all go, I'm going to hang out with the Reverend. No. Those are spiritual metaphors, oil and wine. Because that's what we did in the Old Testament. Whenever people came, that's what we did. Part of the healing process was oil and wine. Okay? I pray that prayer. And you know what? It happens. It happens quite often. Because I'm detailed now. I wasn't always detailed. I'm just telling y'all what I've discovered in the last 3 years. I've become very detailed. And it's working. I'm enjoying it. I asked God to make me debt free by 2014. I owe no credit cards anymore. I got one debt left. One. In 2014, it's coming. But I went to God. I said, Lord, I can't be who I am for you with these things on my mind. I can't have people calling me. Me and God talked a long time over a series of days about stuff that I created. I first took my responsibility. I said, Lord, I did this. I kept signing the little instant credit. I kept signing them little piece of paper. And I thought it was something to be able to open my wallet and have an American Express and have a Citibank and have a, and the enemy was laughing at me, because I thought as long as I was paying my tithe, God, this was a result of my tithe. And the Holy Spirit said, you could have more. You choose to give back to those because you took from those rather than asking me. Because a lot of what you financed, I could have gave it to you in one drop. You didn't ask me. You went in JCPenney and Radio Shack and City, Circuit City and Best Buy and went, ooh. And the man stood there and said, well, we can finance that for you. And you went, all right. You didn't stop one time and say, Lord, can I have that? Is that really good? You know, I mean, come on, let's just be honest with ourselves. We did it. Because we weren't detailed. A lot of things in our life, even now, the things we thought we just had to have are sitting in a corner somewhere. We don't even know where the remote is. We don't even turn it on anymore. It's not even interesting to us anymore. And we just had to have it, but we're still paying on it. And the Lord is looking, and trust me, we steal to give man that which belongs to God. That's why our tithe is not what it ought to be. That's why our offerings are not what they ought to be. Do you know that those things that you give to a man only manifest a curse when it belongs to God? Because that which is holy unto the Lord belongs to the Lord. And our first fruits belong to God. If our first fruits are going to Best Buy and Circuit City out of business, and you know they're still collecting on debts. Yes, sir. Circuit City is out of business and people still owe Circuit City money. And Circuit City is still getting money and they're out of business. You know why? Because people bought big screen TV. You remember when big screen TVs first came out? They were like $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a piece. for not big, big screen. They were like 38 inches, 39, 36. A 36 inch flat screen TV when they first came out was probably around about $5,000. $5,000 minimum payments. You'll be paying for it till your grandchildren get out of college. And people did that little no money down, 90 days, same as cat. Knew they weren't going to pay it off in 90 days. And go to the church and will not give God what they give in minimum payments. Or will not even ask God, Lord, how do I get out of this responsibly? Because not answering the phone and hanging up on them people is not being responsible. Because if you're stealing from them, you're now violating a biblical principle. You have taken something from a man or a company and you're not faithful. You have to work that out. So that's what I'm doing. I went to God and I said, Lord, to serve you with integrity, here's what I need to do. And God showed me how to do it. I stuck with it. Can I tell you the first order of being free? Sacrifice. You will never be free without sacrifice. So what the Lord said to me is you're going to have to give up some things to get out of these things. So that means you have to cut down on this, cut down on that. Because if you're still doing the same thing, you're going to keep getting the same results. If every time you go on vacation, you keep swiping your credit card, you're not going to get out of debt. So God said, you can't do this. Nope, you can't go to that. Nope, you can't do that. And after a while, it created this word that we don't like. Let me borrow this for a minute, my dear friend. Discipline. Discipline their lives through biblical training and spiritual principles. That's why we keep coming here. For the spiritual principles. Do it God's way and it'll work. How many of you have ever been told something foolish by somebody to get out of something or to get around something? Man, look at me. Tell you what I did. That is not a spiritual principle. God said, if you owe Caesar, give it to Caesar. A spiritual principle is not changing your name or putting it in your child's name. You got your cable cut off, so you go down there and put your child name and social security number on a document. Your child in debt and he's 6 years old. He got a credit score and he has no idea. So when he does go to college and apply for a grant or something, he's going to get turned down because he got debt. They're going to say, well, you know, you've got a lot of unpaid bills for an 18-year-old. And they're going to look at him and go, excuse me? Well, in 1971, sir, I was born in 72. The system don't care. You cannot get stronger without discipline. And you cannot get to this without developing. Those things are critical. Thank you, sir. How much time I got? I'm done. Now, last thing. If you look at what happened, let's go to John 14. And we'll come back at John 14 next week because this is critical. I want to get you into a greater state of mind. John 14. I want to show you, and we're not going to talk about it a lot, but at least we'll get to look at it. Amen? All right. Everybody there? Go to verse 12, John 14, verse 12. Everybody there? Watch this. The truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Now, here's what I'm trying to tell you. That's your sure objective. If you didn't have one before, I just gave you one. Your objective, one of your objectives should be that you began to do the works that he's done. And on your list, some of the things you mentioned will fall within those parameters. To heal, to have greater faith, to have wisdom. Jesus said, learn of me. Get to know me. To have understanding. I am doing the will of my Father. He understands his Father. He said, if you don't have this as an objective, the truth is, and here's what I like about verse 12. Anyone, you qualify. Anybody in this room, just as I told you, it's not too early for Krista. It's not too early for Cheyenne. It's not too late for even Sister Woodson. It's not too late for Susan. I'm old, nine. Ain't much left for me to do. The devil is a liar. Because if you lay down in the road, you're going to get run over. The first two or three may go around you, but after a while, don't you never think that you done run out. I don't care how old you are. Anyone, the truth is, anyone who has sure objectives and spiritual foundations and principles can do what I've done. A father can pray for his son to be healed. A man can pray to be debt free. A woman can pray to be a millionaire. You don't think that people who are millionaires just walked into being a millionaire, do you? Even those who inherited money can lose it if they ain't got some sense. Amen. The Lord says, the truth is, here's an objective. Want to do what I did. Now, he says, you can't do what I did if you don't know me. You can't do the works of the Father if you don't know the Father. Please believe me in that. Back up to verse 11. Just believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of what you see me do. What does that mean? At least you got to be around him. Do you know where Jesus had the most difficulty? With people who had not seen him do what he did. The text will reveal over and over throughout scriptures. When they saw his miracles, they believed. It is in the places that no one saw Jesus that when Jesus came, they were like, I don't know nothing about that. I got to see that. Jesus said, listen, you got to believe that my Father and I are hooked up together. And you're a part of that. He said, if you're having some problems in your spiritual development and haven't gotten there yet, at least believe because of what you've seen. Our seeing is a lot about our reading. Because we were not at Cana. We were not along the road to Bethesda. But we have read and say, okay, I got that, Lord. I believe that God still opens blinded eyes. I believe that leprosy, whatever it may be called today, any ailments or infirmities can be healed by the power of God. Because I read it. And I said this years ago, and I remind myself often, one of my prayers to God, one of my most fervent prayers to God was, Lord, don't let me just read your word, but let me see your word. Let me be your word. I don't want to just read about the miracles. I want to see them. And God has been faithful. That was one of my sure objectives. That was one of my detailed desires. Because again, you have the authority from your mouth to say to God, and he will. Ask. Keep on asking, and I'll give it to you. Have I helped you a little bit? I wanted to help you. That was my desire. We'll stop right there. We're going to come back next week. We will be working on John 14. I just wanted to give you a little heads up. That's how they're doing the movies. It's coming soon. We'll do John 14. Amen. All right. I'm going to mark this so we don't get separated.